Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Seeing that since July 21st doesn't have a whole lot of football history in its past, we will take some time today to go into detail on an exhibition game played annually over four decades that will be getting discussed a lot in the coming weeks on the football history headlines, and it's all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to bring you some great history today, because we don't have a lot of football history headlines today, but the topic du jour is going to be the Chicago College All-Star Game and the great four decades that it spanned, pitting the College All-Stars against the NFL's champion from the previous season. What an exhibition game to start off a season, especially when it started. College was a much bigger game than a pro game, so this was really big, and there were some evenly played matches and even some games that the college won. So let's get into it now. The Chicago Charities College All-Star Game, also known as the College All-Star Football Classic, was a preseason exhibition game that pitted the previous year's season's NFL champions against a roster of all-star college players from the year prior. Lone exception of having an NFL champ play took place in its inaugural season, 1934 game, when the NFL runner-up, the Chicago Bears, played in the contest. The game was played from 1934 all the way to 1976, skipping only in 1974 due to the NFL strike. At its onset, the proceeds of the game benefited the charities of the Chicago area and was almost played always at Soldier Field in the Windy City, with the exception of 1943 and 1944 when it was hosted by Northwestern University at Deich Field. A newspapers.com supplied July 24th, 1934 edition of the Austin American gives us an in-depth look at how the team that would play the Bears in that inaugural charity game played on August 31st, 1934. The article says that as of July 24th, the vote for the college players and a coach to lead them were still in the works. Early ticket sales indicated that near 100,000 people were expected for attendance, according to the United Press. That figure may have been a little bit of inflated to draw attention for the event, as it was the benefit of the hindsight of attendance that was listed at 79,432 that witnessed the 0-0 tie between the Bears and the All-Stars. The brilliant concept of exhibition was the product of Arch Ward, the editor of the Chicago Tribune and creator of the MLB All-Star Game. Speaking of Arch Ward, what an interesting figure in sports history this guy was. Ward, according to the Britannica.com, initiated the Major League All-Star Game in 1933. His football All-Star Game in 1934 that we're just talking about. The Golden Gloves Boxing Competition in 1926. Arch has also received credit as one of the orchestrators of the All-American Football Conference that started in 1946 and eventually had three teams, the Browns, 49ers, and Colts, merge into the NFL. In the 42 games that were played, the College All-Stars, in fact, won nine of them. Game ended with a tied score twice and 31 victories going to the favored NFL champs. Now, if you want to read through some old articles like I did today from the newspapers.com, Austin American, you need to join newspapers.com and check it out. We'll give you a free 7 days. If you go to sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, you can sign up for free 7 days, and a paid subscription at the end of those days will help support this podcast and all the other ones at the sportshistorynetwork.com. So again, go to sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers today to get those free 7 days. I also want to mention another sponsor we have. We have the Row One brand. And Row One Gallery is includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed on a variety of sizes of wood, metal, acrylic, or poster paper. And you can get a 15% off at the Row One Gallery if you go to sportshistorynetwork.com/Row1 and enter the code SHN15. Remember, this only works at the sportshistorynetwork.com/Row1 and go to that link and put in SHN15 and you can get your discount on those great Row One products. And I think you'll really enjoy those because they really decorate up a room. And I myself am a customer with them and it is excellent products that come from them. Now, let's go to our birthdays of our one Hall of Famer today, July 21st, 1912, El Campo, Texas. Bill Wallace, he was a halfback from Rice University for the seasons of 1932, 34, and 1935. And he was born on the July 21st, 1912 date. According to the National Football Foundation, the modern fans can't possibly imagine the incredible talents of Wallace. This man was in track and field, was a highly talented and regarded sprinter and hurdler, and on the gridiron, he was an elusive ball carrier as well as an extremely accurate passer, a precision punter, and a talented safety. In 1934, the Texas game, without using his rushing skills, he showed everyone that he could be used as a deterrent to unleash the rest of his skillful arsenal. Bill pinpointed punts three times dead just short of the goal line, and one even from 70 yards out. On two others in that game, he punted them out of bounds inside the 10-yard line, pinning the Longhorns deep. They had bad field position most of the day. Time after time, he circled to the left, drawing the Texas secondary out of position to leave their coverage and rush towards the line of scrimmage to stop him. Then, with only 3 minutes to go, and Texas in the lead, he circled left again. But instead of advancing, he promptly stopped and fired a long left-handed pass far across the field. And Ray Smith, with no defender even close to him, hauled in the pass and crossed the goal line, putting Rice ahead. After an interception, Rice scored again and the game ended in victory. But Wallace wasn't through yet with the Rice cause. A fan tried to make off the ball from the point after kick after that final score, and Wallace flew after him, busting through interference of 20 to 30 spectators. Bill sent them all reeling and returned to the field with the game ball to celebrate the victory. Wallace was also Rice's initial first-team All-American selection. The collegiate career story of Bill Wallace has entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1978. Now, if you want to get some birthdays of the pro players, you can go to profootballreference.com, click on that July 21st button, and you will see all the pro players that have birthdays that are celebrated on July 21st, all through professional football history. And I think you will really find that to be a fun thing to do and see the players on their birthdays. And, you know, we really appreciate you joining us today. We hope that you'll join us each and every day. We hope you'll see us over at sportshistorynetwork.com. We have, you know, a bunch of podcasters, numbering over 20 different podcasts right now with many great hosts and guests and excellent sports history topics. You can also find us at our website, pigskindispatch.com, the portal to positive football history, and you will find all kinds of great blog posts and anything we can get our hands on. Some nice photos, a lot of them from the U.S. Library of Congress, some that I've taken myself at different venues around the country relating to football. And, you know, it's just a nice little thing. And, of course, all of our podcasts are there, too. You can see all of them or listen to all of them and see all of the blog posts. And I think you'll enjoy that, as well as our bonus series that we have going almost on a weekly basis. And I think you can get some benefit out of that into your football brains. So you can also follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Our Facebook page is Pigskin Dispatch, and you can also go to the subreddit of Reddit, r Sports History, and we post there almost every day, as well as LinkedIn under Darren Hayes and Facebook under Darren Hayes. I repost the Pigskin Dispatch page. So I think you'll really enjoy that. I hope you'll join us at one of those and join us each and every day on this podcast. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.